Open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. In light of Veterans Day, there's a lot that could be said about heroes. Oxford Dictionary says a hero is a person who is admired and idealized for courage and outstanding achievements and noble qualities. And that's I think that hits a nail on the head, and we certainly appreciate all of the veterans here in our country and certainly in our church. It describes men and women who served in the armed forces, and it also includes many who didn't. And today, I want to speak to you about unsung heroes. Here in chapter 17, we find the part of the story of the children of Israel as they journey through the wilderness and on to the promised land. And verse 1 tells us that they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. All of a sudden they run into a problem, didn't have anything to drink, and so they're complaining to Moses, griping about why he even brought us out there. They said, "Wherefore is this that thou brought us out here of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" I mean, here is a man that God used to deliver them, and now they're complaining about him. And verse 8, just whenever Moses is thinking it can't get any worse than this, then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Whenever I think about this story of Israel as they make their journey out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land, it's one of my very favorite stories. And there's so much here. And the fact is, there is so much here that is in shadow and type, lessons that the Lord recorded for us to learn, valuable lessons. It is so very important that back when I was preaching revival meetings, and back in those days, we generally had a morning service. And I usually, not always, but I would say maybe half the time, I would teach all week on that journey, the lessons that we learn, the spiritual lessons that we learn from their deliverance out of Egypt. And we are delivered at the point of salvation, are we not? We talk about that journey through that wilderness and all the way to the promised land, which, in case you're wondering, by the way, that promised land doesn't represent heaven. It represents us being in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do. And naturally, there is a promised land, but there's a great story in all of that. And I promise you, I'm not going to teach that series this morning. Maybe you're thinking, well, we'll get a good short message today. Well, maybe, maybe not. We're just going to get the message that God puts on my heart. But I want you to notice, and it's important that we understand the context here of my text, which there in verse 8 where it says, "Then came Amalek They've just been delivered out of Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're en route to the land of Canaan, the promised land. But then came Amalek. In other words, no sooner are they out of bondage and they're headed for a blessing, but now they find themselves in a battle. Well, I mean, that was the last thing they, in their mind, the last thing they needed in a situation like that. The Amalekites were a nomadic tribe. They were traveling from place to place. The fact is, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. So that alone tells you that there's going to be trouble. And the Bible says he feared not God. And consequently, they attacked and provoked the children of Israel again and again and again. And here we see another instance of that very thing. Moses goes up on the top of the hill. He sends Joshua and the troops out to fight. Verse 11 says, Israel prevailed. Notice when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Now remember, he has the rod of God in his hand, and as the troops are out there fighting, he holds that rod up above his head, and the Israelites are winning the battle. He grows weary, and he lets down his arms to rest for a moment, and all of a sudden, the Amalekites take over, and they're winning the battle. While this is going on, I want you to notice that Aaron and Ur, it says that they are there and they hold up his hands. If ever there was an unsung hero, it is the case with Ur. We read a lot about Aaron, by the way. He is their high priest. Joshua's general out there directing the troops, and here's Moses, their leader. But we read almost nothing about Ur himself. All he did was hold up the hands of Moses. I mean, that doesn't sound exciting. It doesn't sound important, but it was absolutely essential to winning this victory. Without him, there would have been no victory to celebrate. You could say that Israel, in part, owed the victory to someone who was an unsung hero. And throughout all of these years, there have been many unsung heroes. We've been able to, this morning, recognize many of these men that are heroes because of the price they paid. As Jason made mention of, our soldiers in Vietnam did not get the honor that they deserved when they came back. Those of you that are somewhere around my age will remember the protest against the war, and the protest against the war turned into disrespect for our troops. And they didn't hesitate to show their disdain for our troops who risked their lives over there. Unsung heroes. Every soldier that's faithful to his duty is an unsung hero. But there are others. There's the single mother who is struggling to provide for her children. There's the faithful father who not only puts bread on the table, but also raises his children in the church where they can hear the Word of God. Then there's the missionaries that leave behind their family and their friends and all of their dreams of the homeland here, and to go to a foreign mission field where basically nobody even wants them to be there. Unsung heroes. There are the first responders who risk their lives. Even though they're underpaid, they risk their very lives to help someone else. There are the school teachers who do their job faithfully and joyfully, even though they don't get any special recognition out of it. The same thing's true in the Lord's churches. Those people that are workers in the church, whether it's Sunday school or one or whatever the ministry might be, that never get any special recognition. They're unsung heroes. the young people who have the courage to stand up for Christ at school when everybody else is against him. Unsung heroes. There are those that have no title, no office in the church, but however they can help, they do. They put the needs of the church ahead of all of their personal desires. There are those that give above and beyond what is required or what is expected. In doing so, they do it without anybody else even knowing about it. Unsung heroes. There are those who are sick and suffering, and yet, and in spite of that, they're kind and they're cheerful, showing others that the grace of God is able to get you through the most difficult things of life. They're unsung heroes. Don't ever get to the point in your life to where you think, well, I have no reason to be here. Because if you're here, there's a reason for it. Life is a gift from God. But here we see a man who seemingly is just unrecognized as there being anything great about him. Let me mention some things about the unsung heroes. First of all, they're absolutely invaluable. My pocket dictionary that I keep on my desk gives this definition whenever it talks about invaluable. It says simply this one word, priceless. And I'm saying that these unsung heroes are absolutely invaluable. They are priceless. You can't put a price on how much they're worth. They're the difference between whether it's an army or a church or a family, whatever it is, they are the difference between defeat and victory. And our text is reminding us something important about our Christian life, that it's not all about worship, it's not all about work, it's about warfare. You can't be in a church and serving God without recognizing the fact that Satan's going to do everything he can to destroy you and to hinder you. That's just part of it. In an army, you don't win the battle just with guns and bullets. I'm so glad Willie said what he did, and I thought he was going to preach my sermon for a little while, but I'm glad he said it. It's not just guns and bullets. Those troops have to have food. They have to have water. They have to have someone to make those things available. And when it comes to the Lord's church, it takes more than a pastor, more than a staff. It takes the unsung heroes. They're the ones that make the difference between failure and success in a church. A lot of times, you know, the preachers get a pat on the back, and whenever the church is going good, why, he gets all the credit for it. And yet, the fact of the matter is, he couldn't do anything other than just stand up and preach were it not for the followers, those that were the unsung heroes who behind the scenes, without any recognition, do what's necessary to make the ministry successful. And I say again, these unsung heroes are absolutely invaluable, and they're invaluable because they are actively involved. It wouldn't be a hero if they wasn't involved in some way. It takes involvement. There's always something for a person to do if they're willing to do it. It takes people with different skills. In the military, you no doubt noticed that many of the men mentioned serving in different aspects of whether it was the Navy, the National Guard, the Marines, the Army, and even within each one of those, they did different things. And everything there was extremely important. Each one contributed to the success of the whole. And we look at our story here, and here's Moses. He's the leader. Be easy to give him a round of applause. And here's Joshua. He's the warrior. There's Aaron, the high priest. And, well, then here's her. he just seems out of place with all of the rest of them. What do you call him? The hand lifter upper? I don't know. He doesn't have any title. He doesn't have any office or anything. But he saw something that needed to be done, and he did it. And boy, that's the kind of people that every church needs. He didn't wait to be asked, as far as I know. That he didn't get an invitation. He didn't get a summons. He just saw a need, and he did what he could. He did what he could. And people like that, again, I say, are absolutely essential, but they're almost invisible. And the reason I say that is because these kind of people are willing to work behind the scenes. They do the kind of things that hardly anyone notices. They'll do things that nobody else wants to do. And they don't complain about it. They just do it. They feel a responsibility. You don't find a lot of folks like that today. As far as they're concerned, they're willing to remain in the shadows. They're not looking for notoriety, a pat on the back, a raise, or anything like that. They just want to serve the Lord. And I can almost picture the people here after the victory shouting out, you know, words of praise to Joshua, the military leader. And maybe now they've changed their mind about Moses, who they've been complaining about, and now maybe they're saying, way to go. We never doubted you. I mean, they were ready to kick him out of the camp just a little bit before that. It's easy to see how they would be shouting thanksgiving, or maybe they're giving their praise to God through Aaron, their high priest, but what about her? And if you can just stop and think about all of those that are involved in a church ministry in any way whatsoever, you can find a reason to give thanks to God for people like that. We ought to thank God for every unsung hero, those working behind the scenes, no recognition, no appreciation. They just do it because they know it's the right thing to do. They're not looking at it, what's in it for me. By the way, there's something about that we need to remember. That's the fact that whenever we do that, when we express our gratitude for those unsung heroes working behind the scenes, scheduling things, printing things, bringing people to church, operating the sound system, whatever it is, and we take into consideration what they're doing and we say, thank God for brother or sister so-and-so. Thank God they're doing that. Let me tell you something about each and every one of them. Every one of them's imperfect. They have two imperfect pastors. All of us are imperfect. And if you look close enough, I hope you don't, if you look close enough, you can find fault with every single member of this church. But where would we be without all of these unsung heroes, these imperfect people, doing their best, fighting their own struggles within, and yet doing their best week after week after week to help keep the church ministry going? And these unsung heroes are always inspirational. Let me tell you some things about her that we haven't mentioned and maybe you didn't know. The tradition, the Jewish tradition, says that he was Miriam's husband. That makes him a brother-in-law to Moses, if that's really the case. And there's a strong argument for that. And you remember when Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and he's going up there, and what does he do? Some reason he leaves Aaron and Ur in charge of the people. Why would he do that? As wise as Moses was, I don't think he would have done that unless he had confidence in them. Maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, but If Ur was his brother-in-law, there's probably more involved in it than that. You know, the brother-in-law always gets a raise or something like that. But I'm convinced he saw something in him. And I say that because here's the second thing I want you to know about Ur, because over in 1 Chronicles chapter number 2, it tells us he is the grandfather of Bezalel, who was the fellow that supervised the construction of the tabernacle. In other words, he even though that God gave the plans and what have you, it was this man who supervised the whole thing. No doubt reminding people that God instructed us to build this precisely like this. And no doubt, people being people, someone suggested, you know, I think we could use a better type of wood, or I think we could use a better type of animal skin, or I think we ought to make this a little bigger, a little smaller, whatever. But that's what people do. In churches, more churches split over building programs than about anything. And here's the man supervising that. And it's not hard for me to imagine that he's thinking about Grandpa, thinking about his granddaddy who held up the hands of Moses that brought Israel the victory. You have to admire those that are willing to do their best. And it's usually related to what we call the small things. The things that maybe nobody else wants to do. And I suspect there that the supervisor in building that tabernacle thought back to, well, what would Grandpa have done? How would he have done this? And I'll guarantee you, probably every person here today can think of someone. It might be a grandpa. It might be a grandmother. It might be someone that's not even related to you. It might be an older person in the church. And you can think back to that time when you first got saved. You might have been a teenager. You might have been younger than that. There was that Sunday school teacher, that one certain Sunday school teacher that just seemed to love you regardless of how ornery you were at the time. That one certain Sunday school teacher that went above and beyond just teaching the class and dismissing it, but always took the time to let you know, I really do care about you, and I'm here to help you. And most of us can think of someone like that, that is an unsung hero that never got the praise that they deserve. And because of that inspiration that we get from people like that, every one of us ought to strive to be an example before others, because someone is watching us, whether we realize it or not. Those of you that teach Sunday school, mark it down. Years from now, those kids will look back and say, oh yeah, that was, when I was in the third and fourth grade, that was, oh yeah, so and so. Boy, he was grouchy. Or that was Miss so and so, and she was the sweetest thing. Always did just love her. Listen, people are going to remember you. And your faithfulness might be the fuel that inspires someone else to serve God like they should. You don't have to do something great in this world, at least what we think of being great. You don't have to get all the notoriety in your name in the headlines in order to be a hero to someone. You can make your life count by just paying attention to those seemingly small things. I often read a quote from Helen Keller that I'm going to read again. And in case you didn't know, Helen Keller was mixed up spiritually about some things, but she had this right. And you have to admire her for the determination she displayed in going to college and doing the things she did. She said, "I long to accomplish a great and a noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks as though they were great and noble." She went on to say the world is moved along not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker. Boy, she nailed it. That is exactly right. Whether it's a church, whether it's a family, or whatever it is, it's people working together to accomplish the goal. As she called it, the tiny pushes of each honest worker. There's an old song that says, "Little is much when God is in it." Boy, what a great message that is. Little is much when God is in it. Now listen, folks, I'm not talking about trying to be a hero. We don't need any more of that. We've got far too much of that today, people that are trying to be a hero. I'm talking about helping however you can and doing it whether you are appreciated or not. Because if our motive is right, it's not going to matter whether we get any attention for it or not. Oh, I understand that appreciation encourages anyone, but we don't do what we do just for the appreciation, or we shouldn't. We do it for the glory of God and for the good of other people. And I hope this morning that as we leave here today, that each and every one of us will leave here being thankful for those unsung heroes that are in this church. Because they're here. As we celebrated a short time ago, it was the 53rd anniversary of this church. That wasn't by accident. It's still here today and still being used of God today because of what? Because of unsung heroes, people working behind the scenes willing to do those so-called little things. And I hope when we leave here today that we will leave with a new appreciation for people like that. Unsung heroes. Now, although there are unsung heroes among men here on earth, there are none regarding God. And I say that because God, He takes note of every thought, every word, every deed, and He's going to reward us accordingly. Nobody else might give you any credit for what you do. You might never do anything to win the applause of others while you're here on this earth, but mark it down, we're going to be rewarded by the Lord Himself. And any life that's well lived takes that into account. So instead of us, you know, just wasting our life, let us do what we can, even though it's unseen and unappreciated, knowing that God is going to bless our effort by simply doing what God desires, obeying His word. Listen, you can be a hero to others. And every time that we assemble here, and I hope you remember this if you don't remember all of the rest. Every time that we assemble here, we ought to be mission-minded. In other words, we ought to recognize the fact that we're here not just to get something, we're here to give something. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it speaks about us, you know, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Right? We all know that. That's part of obeying God, is being in God's house with God's people. But a lot of folks never look at the reason why. Verse 24 tells us why. And here it is, that we might provoke, not in a bad sense, but that we might provoke one another unto love and good works. And every Sunday when we come together, maybe do us good to pray, Lord, how can I provoke someone today in a good way? Provoke them, help them, encourage them, give them the energy, the desire, whatever. What can I do that would help them to love and provoke them to do good works? Have you ever thought about being here on that mission? That's being an unsung hero. You don't teach a class. You don't preach a message. You don't sing in the choir. You don't do any of that stuff. You might feel like you're just invisible. Let me tell you, although we are all imperfect, there's not one member of this church who is insignificant. And we have to remember that, lest we leave the impression with some that they are unimportant, that they don't matter. I'm glad I have a wife that sometimes says things that I don't want to hear, even though I need to hear them. We were going out and the other day as we were leaving, and I was engaged in a brief conversation with someone, and I was trying to get her out of to the car where she'd feel more comfortable. So I'm already shifting the blame. I'll put the blame on her. Got to get her out of here, you know, and get her to the car. We got out there, and she said, that person was trying to talk to you and have a conversation with you, and you just went right on. I said, well, no, I spoke. She said, yeah. You spoke, but then you just hurried us out of there. Now, I didn't want to hear that, but I needed to hear that. And if that person's here today, and I don't know whether they are or not, I apologize. But you see, so many times and in so many different ways, we leave the impression with people that they don't really matter, that they're not all that important, and believe me, that's not the way we want anyone to feel. That's why we don't call people visitors. Every person that comes in is either a member or they're a guest. And we want to treat each one with love and with respect. And regardless, you know, of the other person's faults or their failures or whatever, they matter and they need to be loved. And we need to do what we can to help them. It's easy to say, boy, they're a mess. There's no hope for them. Listen to what Paul said. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. One of the greatest dangers in us mistreating others is that it's going to come back to haunt us personally. And then he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I don't want you to leave here today with the attitude, I'm going to be a hero. No, don't do that. But you can be a hero. You become a hero by doing as the Bible says, considering others better than yourself. Ooh, boy, that knocks pride in the head, doesn't it? And you can be a hero to someone that will make a difference in their life for the rest of their life. Now, I'll leave you with one more thought. The most important thought. There's another unsung hero that I haven't mentioned this morning. And that unsung hero is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And you know the story. It was not enough for them to just despise him, not enough for them to just walk away and ignore him. Oh, no. They finally prevailed in getting their way, and they nailed the only perfect man who ever lived, the Son of God. They nailed him to the cross, where he suffered and he bled and died for them, the very ones nailing him to the cross, the very ones crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." He shed his blood for them. You talk about an unsung hero, it doesn't get any worse than that. There's an old song that says, "Does Jesus care?" And it goes on and says, "Oh, yes, he cares." And he really does. You might be here today and unsaved. You don't make a profession to even be a Christian. And you know, or you suspect, that you're really missing out on something important, but you're not exactly sure what you need to do about it. Well, I can tell you the only thing you can do about it is to put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and what he did. He's not looking for people to be so heroic that they'll get his attention and finally he'll forgive you of your sins and let you into heaven. He's just looking for somebody that's humble enough to say, "Dear God, I realize I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he was the Son of God. I believe he rose from the grave. And I'm trusting you, Lord, to save me because of that." And you can leave here as a child of God with all your sins forgiven. And maybe you're here and you've already been saved, but it might be you haven't recognized that unsung hero that you see every week in church. Might be God's prompting you to go to him or to her or whoever and just say, "I want you to know that I really appreciate what you do in the church." We had Pastor's Appreciation Day the other day, and Brother Kenneth and I both appreciate your kindness so very much. But we're not the only people that need to be appreciated. Everybody needs that, and there are people all around you out there. They don't make any noise. You don't even know they're here hardly unless you look for them. Maybe the only thing you can think of is that they're just always here. They never miss. And you just want to let them know today, go to them, shake their hand, and tell them, "You are really an inspiration to me." But whatever God's speaking to your heart about, would you do that today? And if you're here and your desire is to receive Christ as your Savior, we invite you to come, and we're going to sing this invitation song at this time. And we have Brother John to come, and Brother Rick, if you two would come up here. Brother Kenneth's not here today. And you say, "Well, I got some questions." Good, because they got some answers. They've got the Word of God, and they're able to help you with the Word of God and show you how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. Maybe you're here today and you think, and the Lord has convinced your heart, "This is the church where God wants me to be." And let them know, and they'll take care of the rest of it. While we stand and as we sing together, would you come?
Number 544.